Ether, chapter 10, verse 1. And it came to pass that Shez, who was a descendant of Heth, for Heth had perished by the famine, and all his household, save it were Shez. Wherefore Shez began to build up again a broken people. The term broken people is synonymous with the people who have been destroyed, not meaning that they are annihilated, but that their structure is broken up. There is no cohesiveness because they have forgotten the Lord their God. They are in their lost and fallen condition, carnal, sensual, and devilish, wandering in the dark without God in their world. Now, the 10th chapter of Ether covers about one third of the 2,000 year history of the Jaredite people. That would be somewhere between 600 and 700 years in 34 verses. Verse 2, and it came to pass that Shez did remember the destruction of his fathers, and he did build up a righteous kingdom, for he remembered what the Lord had done in bringing Jared and his brother across the deep. And he did walk in the ways of the Lord, and he begat sons and daughters. This is the value of the written record of a people, especially that part of the record which chronicles the spiritual, sacred nature of the Lord's doings with the people. Shez was able to build up a righteous kingdom because of the record kept by the brother of Jared, and righteous kings and rulers such as Emer, who saw the Lord in his day and received precious promises from him. Where would the Nephites have been without the plates of brass? Where would we be without the Book of Mormon? Verse 3, and his eldest son, whose name was Shez, did rebel against him. Nevertheless, Shez was smitten by the hand of a robber because of his exceeding riches, which brought peace again unto his father. This robber who smites Shez, the son of Shez, because of his riches, is the beginning of a Gadianton-like band among the Jaredites. It's only a matter of time until these robbers take up the secret plans, oaths, and covenants of Cain, which were given by them of old, who sought power, and to help such as sought power to gain power, to be able to murder and to plunder, to lie, commit all manner of wickedness and whoredoms among the people. Verse 4, and it came to pass that his father did build up many cities upon the face of the land, and the people began again to spread over all the face of the land. And Shez did live to an exceedingly old age, and he begat Riplakish, and he died, and Riplakish reigned in his stead. Riplakish is an ancient name and means Lord of Lachish. There are at least five ancient cities that are named Lachish. The oldest city in ancient Mesopotamia was called Lachish. Thus that Riplakish did not do that which was right in the sight of the Lord, for he did have many wives and concubines, and did lay that upon men's shoulders, which was grievous to be borne. Yea, he did tax them with heavy taxes, and with the taxes he did build many spacious buildings. Who does that sound like from our readings in the Book of Mormon? Mosiah chapter 11, verse 2. For behold, he, Noah, did not keep the commands of God, but he did walk after the desires of his own heart. And he had many wives and concubines, and he did cause his people to commit sin and do that which was abominable in the sight of the Lord. Yea, and they did commit whoredoms and all manner of wickedness. Watch this, verse 3, and he laid a tax of 1/5 part of all they possessed, 1/5 part of their gold and of their silver, and a fifth part of their ziph, and their copper, and of their brass, and their iron, and a fifth part of their fatlings, and also a fifth part of all their grain. And why did he tax the people? Watch verse 4. And all this did he take to support himself and his wives and his concubines, and also his priests and their wives and their concubines. And thus he changed the affairs of the kingdom. There we have in the Book of Mormon information as to why a society which practices plural marriage appears to always be a society which is heavily taxed by their monarchs. For what purpose? To support themselves and their wives and concubines, and to build up spacious buildings. I think of King Solomon, perhaps the greatest scriptural example of someone who practiced plural marriage in an unauthorized manner. Solomon was commissioned to build the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem, and it took him 7 years to do it. He also built himself his own house, a king's palace, and it took 13 years to build it. It's also interesting that the king's house was on a higher elevation than the Lord's temple. The temple of the Lord was found in what we call today the city of David, and Solomon's palace would be 600 feet to the north of where the Lord's temple was, higher up, found on what is known today as Temple Mount, which is not the site of the ancient Temple of Solomon, but is the site of the Roman Antonia Fortress, which housed the 10th Legion. Solomon's wives and concubines turned his heart from the Lord, and great was his fall. The practice of plural marriage commonly among any people seems to be an indication of their fall from grace and of this people not doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 6. And he did erect him an exceedingly beautiful throne, and he did build many prisons. And whoso would not be subject unto taxes, he did cast into prison. And whoso was not able to pay taxes, he did cast into prison. And he did cause that they should labor continually for their support. And whoso refused to labor, he did cause to be put to death. You can bet also that the building of this beautiful throne and the many spacious buildings was done by slave labor, his own people incarcerated, and as the children of Israel under Egyptian bondage, they were made to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Exodus chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Verse 7. And he did obtain all his fine work, yea, even his fine gold, he did cause to be refined in prison. And all manner of fine workmanship he did cause to be wrought in prison. And it came to pass that he did afflict the people with his whoredoms and abominations. Verse 8. And when he had reigned for the space of 42 years, the people did rise up in rebellion against him, and there began to be war again in the land, insomuch that Riplah Kish was killed, and his descendants were driven out of the land. There comes a time when the population are fed up with their rulers. The people rise up in revolution, kill their elite masters, and seek to put the people back in power. Without the inspiration of the Lord, however, inspiring men and women from the newly liberated population to come up with a document such as a constitution where there are inspired checks and balances that will maintain the rights of the people. In a moral society, it is only a matter of time until the cycle quickly repeats itself once more. Verse 9, and it came to pass, after the space of many years, Morianton, he being a descendant of Riplakish, gathered together an army of outcasts, and went forth and gave battle unto the people. And he gained power over many cities, and the war became exceedingly sore, and did last for the space of many years. And he did gain power over all the land, and did establish himself king over all the land. After the rebellion of Riplakish, the country divided off into small city-states, in the which they did govern themselves according to their strength and ingenuity. This would be a period of time of dark ages for this leaderless people, until someone like Morianton would step forth out of the chaos, and through warfare and intrigue, gain power over the land, and establish himself as a monarch. Verse 10, and after he had established himself king, he did ease the burden of the people, by which he did gain favor in the eyes of the people, and they did anoint him to be their king. 11, and he did do justice unto the people, but not unto himself, because of his many whoredoms. Wherefore he was cut off from the presence of the Lord. We can see in our own history of the United States of America the mercy and grace of our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the time of our rebellion against a king who used unjust taxation upon his New World American subjects to support his lavish lifestyle and lust for power, how the Lord inspired men foreordained from before the foundations of the world, our founding fathers, to step forth in the midst of warfare and chaos among a divided and diverse people. Honest and wise men, which he raised up to bring forth a constitution, a supreme law of the land, which would support the freedom and maintain the rights and privileges which belongs to all mankind. Doctrine and Covenants, section 98, verse 5. A constitution established by the hands of wise men, whom the Lord raised up for this very purpose, and redeemed the land by the shedding of blood. Doctrine and Covenants 101, verse 80. Not perfect men by any means, but men nevertheless who weren't cut off from the presence of the Lord because of their many whoredoms. Back to Ether 10, verse 12. It came to pass that Morianton built up many cities, and the people became exceedingly rich under his reign, both in buildings and in gold and silver, and in raising grain, and in flocks and herds, and such things which had been restored unto them. Verse 13, and Morianton did live to an exceedingly great age, and then he begat Kim. It's interesting that the successors to these monarchs' thrones seem to be their youngest sons. Back to verse 13, and then he begat Kim, and Kim did reign in the stead of his father. And he did reign 8 years, and his father died. And it came to pass that Kim did not reign in righteousness, wherefore he was not favored of the Lord. 14, and his brother did rise up in rebellion against him, by which he did bring him into captivity. And he did remain in captivity all his days, and he begat sons and daughters in captivity, and in his old age he begat Levi, and he died. The children of these monarchs among the Jaredites don't seem to have a lot of love and loyalty amongst themselves. They are brought up in households where gross immorality and the lust for power become the norm. in these homes were immorality, plural marriage, multiple wives and concubines are the rule. You can see competition and pride develop among the sons and daughters as to who will succeed to the throne. It's an age-old problem and began with the competition between the brothers Cain and Abel and the offspring of Adam and Eve, who knew not the Lord, but loved Satan more than God. Verse 15, and it came to pass that Levi did serve in captivity after the death of his father for the space of 42 years. And he did make war against the king of the land, by which he did obtain unto himself the kingdom. 16, and after he had obtained unto himself the kingdom, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And the people did prosper in the land, and he did live to a good old age, and begat sons and daughters, and he also begat Corom, who he anointed king in his stead. Do you see the generations passing here, where the monarchs lived to be an exceedingly old age? Or as it says in verse 16, a good old age? Verse 17. And it came to pass that Corom did that which was good in the sight of the Lord all his days, and he begat many sons and daughters. And after he had seen many days, he did pass away, even like unto the rest of the earth, and Kish reigned in his stead. Was the assassin Kish Cumin of the Book of Mormon named after this man in verse 17? Verse 18, and it came to pass that Kish passed away also, and Lib reigned in his stead. Now it's safe to say that these rulers were the most part of them, men who lived the better part of a century or more. This is why we're able to say that the 10th chapter covers almost one-third of the total history of the Jaredite people. Verse 19, it came to pass that Lib also did that which was good in the sight of the Lord. And in the days of Lib, the poisonous serpents were destroyed. Wherefore they did go into the land southward to hunt food for the people of the land. For the land was covered with animals of the forest. And Lib also himself became a great hunter. Now this land southward that they're able to pass through, because the poisonous serpents had been destroyed, will become what we call in the Book of Mormon, the land of Zarahemla. Verse 20, and they built a great city by the narrow neck of land, by the place where the sea divides the land. 21, and they did preserve the land southward for a wilderness to get game, and the whole face of the land northward was covered with inhabitants. It's interesting that they have reserved the whole of the land southward as a game preserve and manage it as such so that this civilization of people do not want for food and especially meat. Verse 22, and they were exceedingly industrious, and they did buy and sell and traffic one with another that they might get gain. I believe that the land northward, which verse 21 says was covered with inhabitants, found the Jaredites from the Pacific Ocean on the west to the Atlantic Ocean on the east, and that within these lands then and even today are libraries, archives, vaults, and repositories where records of this people who inhabited this land for 2,000 years can yet be found. And as the people of Mosiah 1 in his day obtained a knowledge of this vast civilization to their north through the large stone which was brought to him, referred to in Omni 1 verse 20, and the finding of the 24 plates of gold in the days of Limhi, so we in our day will yet find records of this long-lost Jaredite people, which will be brought forth unto us in the due time of the Lord. Back to Ether 10, verse 23, and they did work in all manner of ore, and they did make gold and silver and iron and brass and all manner of metals. They did dig it out of the earth, wherefore they did cast up mighty heaps of earth to get ore of gold and of silver and of iron and of copper, and they did work all manner of fine work. 24, and they did have silks and fine twined linen. They did work all manner of cloth, that they might clothe themselves from their nakedness. 25, and they did make all manner of tools to till the earth, both to plow and to sow, to reap and to hoe, and also to thrash. 26, and they did make all manner of tools with which they did work their beasts. Verse 27, and they did make all manner of weapons of war, and they did work all manner of work of exceedingly curious workmanship. 28, and never could be a people more blessed than were they, and more prospered by the hand of the Lord. And they were in a land that was choice above all lands, for the Lord had spoken it. We're witnessing in these few verses a people who are in a high state of civilization. In verse 22, they were exceedingly industrious and did buy and sell and traffic one with another. Trade is always an indicator of prosperity. The place where I live is an ancient trading site between the peoples of central Arizona to the north, up into the Colorado area, Utah area, and the people to the south as far as Guatemala. Intertribal warfare, which existed among these people, was set aside in order to trade, and the area where I live was a neutral zone where you could find shells from the Pacific Northwest and macaw feathers from the Guatemalan Peninsula. Vast trading over great distances among a prospering people. In verse 23, they worked all manner of ore, an advanced knowledge of metallurgy. Verse 24, they had silks and fine twined linens and did work all manner of cloth. 25 and 26, made tools to till the earth, to plow and sow, to reap and hoe, and to thrash. And with the knowledge that they had of working with metals, I would not be surprised to find out that they developed machinery in their advanced and civilized, prosperous conditions. And in verse 27, they became accomplished in making weapons of war. And interesting, the statement, along with the construction of this weaponry, they did work all manner of work of exceedingly curious workmanship. Verse 29. Came to pass that Lib did live many years and begat sons and daughters, and he also begat Hartham. 30, and it came to pass that Hartham reigned in the stead of his father. And when Hartham had reigned 24 years, behold, the kingdom was taken away from him, and he served many years in captivity, yea, even all the remainder of his days. Verse 31, and he begat Heth. And Heth lived in captivity all his days. And Heth begat Aaron, and Aaron dwelt in captivity all his days. And he begat Amnigada, and Amnigada also dwelt in captivity all his days. And he begat Coriantum, and Coriantum dwelt in captivity all his days. And he begat Com. The dwelling in captivity all of his days indicates lesser kingdoms in subjection to greater monarchical power. For example, the Jews were in captivity under the Herodian kings, who ruled the Jews underneath the power of the Roman emperors. They have a certain autonomy under their masters, but are not completely sovereign. Verse 32, and it came to pass that Com drew away the half of the kingdom, and he reigned over the half of the kingdom 42 years. And he went to battle against the king Amgid, and they fought for the space of many years, during which time Com gained power over Amgid and obtained power over the remainder of the kingdom. Verse 33, and in the days of Com there began to be robbers in the land. Here we go. It's only a matter of time. And they, the robbers, adopted the old plans and administered the oaths after the manner of the ancients, and sought again to destroy the kingdom. Verse 34, now Com did fight against them much, nevertheless he did not prevail against them. In the chapter heading of chapter 10, it says, one king succeeds another. Some of the kings are righteous, others are wicked. When righteousness prevails, the people are blessed and prospered by the Lord. And over this 600 to 700 year period recorded in chapter 10, we can see, as it says in verse 28, never could a people be more blessed than these were, and more prospered by the hand of the Lord. And they were in a land that was choice above all lands, for the Lord had spoken it. Sadly, however, this is the exception rather than the rule among this nation of kings. There is very little, if any, we the people rights and privileges enjoyed among these people. The people prosper or suffer according to the morals and integrity of their leadership. Because of the taking up of the secret oaths and plans that we have discussed in detail in the book of Ether, we can see what's coming in chapter 11, as the first sentence in the chapter heading says, wars, dissensions, and wickedness dominate Jaredite life.